Well, good morning. We'd like to welcome everybody to Hillcrest Baptist Church this morning. We're going to start off this morning's service with a baptism, so if you will, bow your heads and we'll pray. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we can come into your house, Lord. We just always thank you for the ones going through the baptism waters this morning, Lord. We just pray as a church that we would get behind them and help them in any way that we can, Lord. We just pray that you'd be with us now as we go through this service, Lord, that the message that you've laid on Brother Jerry's heart would be brought in a way that it would touch somebody's heart, Lord, and make them come forward and ask you into their lives. Now just be with us, Lord. Lead, guide, and direct us, and forgive us when we fail thee. For it's all these things that we ask and pray in your sweet and precious holy name. Amen.
Well, good morning. Morning. Glorious morning. It's good to see everybody here. Sunday school turned out really well. I was really pleased. We've been praying for Sunday school and praying and praying, and God really showed himself today. So amen, praise the Lord on that. Amen. Betty Gray came forward last Sunday, and she'd already accepted Jesus as her Savior about a month or two ago, and she came forward for baptism, and I've been meeting with her and her boyfriend, ex-husband, soon-to-be husband, and they may get married tomorrow, remarried tomorrow. And what a blessing that is to know that God is in their life. Both of them accepted Christ as their Savior, and they're going to start out this new marriage in a godly way, and they have a preacher that is going to look out for them, and a church that's going to be praying for them. So, Betty, come on down. She said the water better be warm. She's little, but she carries a big punch. Betty, as your pastor, I'm very proud of you giving Jesus your life. And now I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Amen. Amen.
What a way to come back in church and start with a baptism.
We're good.
I hope.
His true name.
Wow. Good morning, Hillcrest Baptist Church. I hope you feel the Spirit of God this morning. I know I do in this place, and it is great to see everyone here this morning. We want to welcome our visitors and our home folk to Hillcrest Baptist Church. And if you didn't know, we have started back at Sunday school at 9:30. We do ask that where social distancing is not an option, please wear your masks. The front three rows for service are blocked off for masked people, so please adhere to that. Wednesday nights at 6:30, we have prayer meeting. We would love to see at least this many people at prayer meeting on Wednesday night. The youth, we will still be meeting in the fellowship hall and having our time together, so we invite you to that as well. But it is just great to be in the house of God this morning. We want to welcome each other, and the way we're going to welcome each other is we're going to stand up, and we're going to sing, and we're going to wave to each other.
Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. All fear is gone.
What a day. Amen. Yeah. I love to have the privilege to baptize. And what goes into it beforehand is even sweeter when you get to share the gospel or to tell them why Jesus died for our sins. And aren't you grateful that the Lord loved you first enough to die on the cross for your sins? God is so good. We're going to pray. There are some praises in here. So you look around, there's praises and there are prayer concerns both sitting in the sanctuary right now. I was kind of, as we did the handshake, the wave shake, I glimpsed at everybody that I could, and my heart started breaking for the things that are going on in our lives, sicknesses and such. And then at the same time, I started praising the Lord for answer prayers and just small miracles, well, not small, but just miracles that God has done in our lives. So let's go to the Lord and pray. But let me tell you, Tamara is still in intensive care, still has the ventilator helping her breathe. She is down to 46 or 47% oxygen now, which is an improvement, but she still has a long ways to go. And Doug, I saw you somewhere. Doug is taking care of work and home and wife too, so be praying for Doug and the family as they care for mom. And also Don Mann is still taking his radiation treatments, and you know, they're not very pleasant at all. But then we've had others that have had, just this past week, had to go to the hospital, and Haley was one of those. She has MS, and she's had an episode that she had to go get treatment for. Now she's at home with the IV at home, and the Hebbers are going to take care of their daughter. And that always kind of weighs on shoulders. I could see when Steve walked in this morning, you were walking hump-shouldered almost. I mean, you can see it. You can't help it. So lift Steve up and Kathy and the family. And then some have had surgeries. Teresa had her cataract surgery, and she's going to have another one. You know, it's just all the way around our sanctuary. So let's pray for one another. Pray with me. Almighty Father, what an awesome God you are. I see three or four prayer concerns, and you see 100 prayer concerns. Lord, you know them all. Father, we trust our prayer concerns into your hands. You know, Father, that those that belong to you are your sheep. You take care of your sheep. We know you by name, and you know us by name. And Father, as we come and ask that you be with those that are really struggling with health, we lift them up to you, trusting you to take care of them, knowing, Lord, that you know what's best, and you have a certain will for each life, and we pray, Father, for that perfect will. We believe in miracles and healing, so we come to you asking for healing. We also pray, Father, for those that are traveling, and Father, that you give them mercy as they're on the road, knowing that sometimes there's just meanness and evil on the road. We ask that you protect them from those things. Father, we pray for this world. So many things that are just going bad, turning towards evil. We pray, Lord, that the light of God would shine and they would see you, and they'd have to see you face to face. And Lord, that because of that, you would change their hearts. We pray, Father, for lost souls, and often they don't even know they're lost. God, give us a heart to share the Lord Jesus with them. And those, Father, that are struggling with other issues, I pray, Lord, that they just learn to trust and have faith in you, but also that you would increase our prayer life, help us to pray for one another, love one another, care for one another. Father, we thank you for the beauty of this day, your creation. Father, you created it all. And the Bible says you looked at it and said, it's good. And it is good. We're good, Father, your creation. I pray, Lord, as we go outside on the way home today, we just see the majesty of God. I pray, Lord, that we'd feel your presence here today And God, because we feel you and know that you're here, that our lives will be touched by you. We sure need a touch from God. I pray, Father, for our country, our leaders, decisions they're making. Some of them are ungodly decisions. Father, we pray that you would guard us from those. We pray, Lord, that somehow or another they would turn their hearts to you, that they would legislate laws, Father, that pertain to your law. Lord God, as we open up the Word, I pray that you'd speak to us. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you for the Word. Thank you, Father, for salvation. Lord, we tell you that we love you and we praise you. You are our God, our Creator. Father, I pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to be here today. You know, I'm not one to, my emotions don't go up and down where you just see that I'm excited, but in my heart, I am excited to be here. Heb was scratching his head. I thought at first you were going like that and kind of got disappointed when I saw you just scratching, but I hope that you're excited to be here and be together once again. What a blessing it is to meet again with all of us together. I hope that you've had a good time off. We're going to try to do church. Hopefully in a couple more weeks, maybe the 1st of April, we'll go back to Sunday night activities. And if the Lord wills and the numbers hold up, then we'll continue meeting in a normal way. So I'm looking forward to that. The title of this message is How Great Is Your God? It's Psalm 145. So I want to ask you, how great is your God as we read these verses? Be thinking about who God is to you. Psalm 145, how great is your God? David writes, I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open up your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Psalm 145, how great is your God? It's a song of praise about God's majesty, about his love, about everything that he's done for this world. He created it, and it's just a song coming out of David's heart, praising God as he looks around and experiences the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the last psalm written in the book of Psalms by David that we know of. There's others through 150, but 145 is the last one that we ascribe to David. Charles Spurgeon wrote this about Psalm 145. Certainly David's praise is the best of praise, for it is that of a man of experience, of sincerity, of calm deliberation, and intense warmth of the heart toward God. I'm going to read to you another paragraph by Spurgeon, but I want you to hear that David had experienced God. He had a closeness, a sincere closeness with God. He had a personal relationship with God. He deliberately sought God. And the Bible in 145 says, every day, always, forever and ever. Spurgeon writes again, in reality, most of us focus too much on what God does for us and not enough on who He is. Most of our praise is prompted by something God has done for us, some blessing, some answered prayer, or some help that we receive from Him. Certainly we ought to praise God without reservation when He blesses us, otherwise we'd seem ungrateful. But to praise Him only for what He does for us reveals that we're truly not understanding who God is. When we grasp who God is, we will be stirred to praise Him first and foremost for that very reason of who God is, what He's done in this world, the way He created this world out of nothing. He says Psalm 145 is the last of David's psalms in the Hebrew hymnal. It is the only psalm in the entire book actually entitled A Psalm of Praise of David. David neither stated nor hinted of any specific need or desire or something that he was expecting God to do. This is, if we'll go through it, we'll see that he didn't ask for anything from God. He wasn't running from anybody that we know of. He wasn't in some bad health way. His family wasn't hurting. Right now, he was looking at the very splendor of God. Boy, when I started studying this, I'm thinking this is a special psalm for us today. All the junk going on in this world, we need to experience God and just open up, forget about the stuff. Not necessarily ask Him anything for us right now. Let's just focus our hearts on the splendor of God. You look out yonder, especially when the sun's coming up, that's easy to see God, which is in awe of what He does. Or a sunset, and as it sets, and it's a gorgeous sunset, that big orange ball going down, it's easy to praise God then, but what about those times you just take a breath and it comes easy? You don't even think about it. Boy, thank you, Lord, for that. What about those times that you sit down every month? I don't know about you guys, but every month I sit down and pay my electric bill. Don't necessarily enjoy it, but I'm so thankful that God has provided income to pay my electric bill and not have to worry that it's going to go up $50 next month. My water bill's the same way. Sometimes it fluctuates. Sometimes, I don't know what causes it to go up $30 a month, but sometimes it does. But it's such a privilege to be able to write that check and send it to the water company knowing that that check is covered. Not everybody can say that. Thank you, God, for those little things. That's what David's all about today. I wrote down after studying Spurgeon, you know, he has a way of putting you in your place. When is the last time you offered praise to God just because of who He is and not what He has done for you? Now think about that. What a simple sentence or a question to ask. When's the last time you just said, Lord, thank You for being God? Look around and thank You, Lord, for those. Anybody like red birds in your backyard? And aren't they gorgeous? I never have liked blue jays too much to hear lately. They're majestic. I mean, they're gorgeous. If the other birds would leave them alone, or they leave the other birds alone, when they separate, have you ever really looked at a blue jay? God was painting that blue jay when he created that little bird. Or not little, they're pretty big birds. Or those woodpeckers in your backyard. Just praise the Lord for His creation and not worry about, Lord, do I get that shot or not? Are my kids okay or not? Don't worry about that. Just praise God. When's the last time you offered God praise just for being God, not for something that He's done for you? And by the way, He's done a lot for us, hasn't He? Amen. Shake your head yes, because you know He has. J.I. Packer wrote this, our thoughts about God are too human. our thoughts of God are not great enough. We too often fail to reckon the reality of God's limitless wisdom and power. Well, again, take a moment and think about that. God is limitless in His power and wisdom. So when we get to worrying, what have we just done? We've made God a little bit smaller than He really is. God can do it. God can handle it. We need to learn how to just, here it is, Lord, take it. And often He does. Sometimes He allows us to take it back from Him, and then we'll go through this whole process again. Packer says, he goes on to say, because we are limited and weak, so we imagine that at some points God is too. Well, that's not so. God is never weak. God is always in control. Now think about that statement for a second. I don't know what you felt about what's been happening in our country the last year, especially during the election time, but God is still in control. God created everything, and He's got a purpose for everything. So no matter what our politics are, what our thoughts are, what we think or what we don't think, just praise God. Let's learn how to praise Him for who He is. And I don't know, I've been around this earth now. I'm 39 years old. I've been around for some time. A lot of water's been up under my bridge, and we're still here, still paying bills, still eating a bunch, still driving a vehicle. So we've been up and down on politics and all that, but aren't we still here today? So let's praise God for who He is. And He can straighten out some of these things that are not right. We sure can't. Praise God. We're limited and weak, and we think God is too. We think that God is too much like we are. And that's just the opposite of what it ought to be. We ought to be like God and just trust Him. Have faith in Him. You know, I have to stop on these things and just think about it. Think about trusting God, that simple little cross back up there. Think about how He hung on that cross for Jerry and my sins. Now, the Bible tells me I need to believe that. I need to have faith that He's able to. And boy, is He able to. He takes your sins and takes them to the Father and says, they're okay. They're mine now. And then it becomes up to God to make us worthy of our place in heaven. Not up to Jerry. Of course, I'm supposed to be obedient. Don't hear me wrong. But God does it. So we have faith in Him. Anybody ever heard of Donald Gray Barnhouse? He's a great guy. Great theologian, great preacher. He wrote this. Now, some of you, I'm glad it's him, because if it was me came up with this, you ought to have a problem with it. The Bible says, Donald Gray says, I learned the idea of a great God and a little God from my old professor, Robert Dick Wilson, at Princeton Theological Seminary. After I'd been away from the seminary for about 12 years, I was invited back to preach to the students. Old Dr. Wilson came into Miller Chapel and stood near the front. At the close of the meeting, he came up to me, cocked his head on one side, as was his characteristic way, extended his hand and said, if you come back, I will not come to hear you preach. I only come once. I'm glad that you are a big godder. When my boys come back, I come to see if they're big godders or little godders. Then I know what their ministry will be like. I asked him to explain what he meant by big godder or little godder. When some men have little God and they are always in trouble with God, then God can't do any miracles through them. He can't take care of the inspiration and transmission of the Scripture through those kinds. He doesn't intervene many times on behalf of those people. Then there are those who have a great God, and He speaks, and it is done. He commands, and it stands fast. He knows for how to show Himself strong on behalf of them that fear God. He paused a minute, smiled, and said, God bless you, and walked out. He asked, are we big godders when it comes to asking and receiving from God? In Psalm 145, you see that David is a big godder. I know that doesn't sound right to say it like that, but you know the meaning behind it. His God is big. He doesn't worry about things right now. He's praising God for who he is. So we're going to look at the scripture and see, just learn some lessons from David. We're going to start out in verse 1, Psalm 145, verse 1. And as we do, I want you to hear and see God's position through this praise of David. David writes, "I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever." He writes, "I will extol you, my God and my King." And David acknowledges God as King of his life, and just because of who God is. "I will extol you, my God, O King." The definition of extol is to praise enthusiastically. Can you just hear David starting, and it just builds and builds and builds, and he gets so excited about who God is, and he looks around and sees what God's done, how he's created everything about this world, and oh man, he gets excited about that. He starts praising God about it. David's praise was very personal. "My God, my King." His praise was given with purpose. "I will bless your name forever." And notice in verse 1, "For how long? Forever and ever and ever." So again, I put it down for a second. I go get to pray in this. And he's David's king. This is one king praising the great king. Revelation 19 and 16 tells us that Jesus is coming back. When he comes back, he's going to be wearing a robe. And you know what's written on that robe? King of kings and Lord of lords. He is king. So my question to us is, he our king? We're not used to having a king, are we? But the Bible calls him our King of kings. He is our king. He is our Lord. So if he were your king, not knowing exactly what that means back in the days they had kings, but the books I've read said if a king said something, you did it, right? If you didn't, they'd take your head off. You obeyed the king. So is God your king today? Is he king of your life? And I hope that we all say, yes, he is. But the truth of the matter is, we're a work in progress, aren't we? We're still working towards that. He is King of kings of our life. Keep on going and look at verse 2. "And every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever." So as we're thinking about verse 2, David starts again, "I will praise you. And every day I'm going to praise you." He starts out verse 1, "I will extol you. I will praise you enthusiastically. And you're my king." So as he's our king, we're to praise him every day, forever and ever and ever. All right, here it comes. Not just when I have time. Not just when I feel like it. Not just when I've gone to the Lord and he's done something for me. Not just when I need something. Not just when I think about it. David is teaching us he is our king. This is King Almighty, King David, talking of God, King of kings and Lord of lords. "Lord, I will praise you enthusiastically every single day." The takeaway is this. We ought to exalt, we ought to bless, we ought to praise God every day solely on the basis of who God is. Wake up in the morning. "You are God. You are Lord. You're King of my life." Extol his honor, praise him enthusiastically. We are not to let, this is Jerry now, we are not to let only circumstances determine when we praise the Lord. Amen. Again, here I put the pen down, I'm thinking about that one. Preacher included on this, how many of us are guilty of praising God when circumstances are good? Yeah. When circumstances are not good, David is teaching us, praise God anyways. I know it's hard. I know it is. We praise him and realize God never changes regardless of those circumstances that surround us. And this world is crazy circumstance-wise. I saw on the news yesterday where some person was going down the Interstate 24 between Murfreesboro and Nashville, and somebody took out a 9mm and emptied it on them, killed them. That's circumstances. Surely that gets us down. But even when the circumstances are bad, we praise God for who He is. He didn't create evil, but He allows it. But we still praise God. Even in our deepest valleys and darkest nights, He's still our God and King. We live in a dark time. Do we let God be King during those dark times? He's still great, no matter what. He's still the King and Creator of this world. Every so often, I'll just read as He created this world and read, it is good. He looked at it and it is good. Then I go outside and look and it is good. Thank you, God. God has always had and will have forever dominion over this creation. From the very day one to the very end, He's King over His creation. He's able to rule over His creation. So yeah, circumstances happen and we get upset about it, but God is still in control. As King, He has dominion over every single thing that goes on in this world. He is Creator, and I want you to remember Him as He is Creator as we look at verse 5. Remember, God created this world. God is Creator. And we read verse 5, we're outside, we're inside, wherever we're at. And I will meditate on the glorious splendor of Your majesty and on Your wondrous works. He's the one that created the splendor of His majesty and His work. And as we look around, we see it and we give Him glory for it. In my Bible, in verse 5, I wrote, good QT. This is a good quiet time verse. You can take this one verse, and wherever you're at, outside, inside, wherever, you just meditate on the glorious splendor of God's majesty. And I promise you, if you start just focusing on God's majesty, that will expand and expand and just fill your heart with praise and glory for the Lord. Take the time to see God's splendor in all things. My mind is going all over right now thinking of new things. And that's just the way God does when you focus on Him. He just plows you with His thoughts. Now look at verse 3 and connect verse 3 and verse 4 together. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise Your works to another and shall declare Your mighty acts. Because of God's greatness, He ought to be greatly praised, the Bible says. Greatly praised, enthusiastically praised. Now compare David's thought about praising God to the way we praise God. At church, are we enthusiastic in the way we praise God at church? What about at home? Are you enthusiastic about praising God at home? Or what about the little groups of Christians that get together? Do we praise God enthusiastically when we get together? I want you to think about that for a second. Even at church, we'll gather and four or five of us get together. What's our conversation about? We start out praising God, and don't we always tend to go somewhere else with our conversations? David is teaching us to praise God for who He is, not what He's done for us circumstance-wise, but just who He is. And boy, when you think about who God is and what He did, He loves you, number one. With everything that He has, and He gave His Son for each one of us. You cannot connect your score of praise to four without answering the question of verse 4. As you praise, great is the Lord, verse 3. Look at what you're supposed to do in verse 4. Connect the two. One generation shall praise your works to another. That doesn't take preaching to tell you what that means. I praise God enthusiastically at home. As I praise God enthusiastically, who's watching me? My children, my wife. But this is talking about me teaching my kids how to praise God the way David's teaching us. Dads and moms, we get upset when our kids don't acknowledge God in their lives, don't we? We get hurt when we don't think they know God. But are we teaching them from one generation to the next? You know, in the spiritual world, we're just one generation from being lost. But that's the same thing in the family. We're just one generation from being lost in families as well. Dads, if you don't teach them about God, who is? If we don't teach them how to praise God, who's going to teach them that? David is teaching us to praise God enthusiastically from one generation to the next. I don't know who I was telling this to this morning, but I love my daddy and mom. They provided everything we ever needed. But Daddy didn't teach me how to praise God. I'm so thankful that other people did. I'm thankful that I married a godly girl at the time. A long time ago, wasn't it? A lot of water been up under our bridge together. But she used to go to church, and she wanted me to go with her when we were dating. And I remember some of the sermons I heard her preachers preach. And I thought, I'll never listen to him again. I didn't like anything he had to say. I didn't know any better. That's the way I grew up, even though Daddy was a deacon in the church. He did not teach me how to pray. He did not teach me how to praise God. But her preacher, bless his heart, he was a simple, simple preacher. And I was a know-it-all. And I critiqued his message one day. He spelled out the word go. He gets in the pulpit, he pounded that thing. Go, G-O. I'm thinking, I know how to spell go. I don't need to hear this. 16 years old. I knew it all. Go, G-O again, he says. He's talking about going out in the world. And I doubt you even remember, but I do. But man, he started talking, and I'm remembering it today. 22 years later. That's as far as I can remember. I don't know what happened to the other 22. What he was teaching, this boy didn't want to hear. But I'm telling you what I heard, am I not? I heard it. He taught it to me. If I'd have gone to him, I'd have been disrespectful. I probably would have said something like, don't tell me how to spell go, I already know. Thank the Lord for people that tell their children how to praise enthusiastically God. We're big Godders. As we answer these questions, do we practice verse 6? Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. Man, think about all the mighty things God's done for you. If you're here today, that's a mighty work. Declare it to your kids from one generation to the next. And we also as a church have the responsibility to share, even though they're not our kids, they are our kids. You are family. We're family. We teach other kids just like they're our kids. The glory of God. We're to teach every generation. Verse 6. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts. This is where I got the title to this message. How great is your God? How mighty is your God? If your God's great, if your God's big, do you declare it to others verbally? Show them how great your God is every day. Extol enthusiastically, praise God with all you got. Let others see it. Every generation, we're to proclaim the greatness of God. We keep talking about this world and how bad it is. I read this past week some great old missionaries, some that were in the 1700s, and I can't hardly picture up here what it was like to be going someplace in the 1700s. One of the old gentlemen I was reading surrendered to the Lord, and he lived up north somewhere, and he surrendered to the Lord to be a missionary to Mexico. Now, that sounds pretty simple. We get on a plane, we fly down to Mexico. But they didn't have airplanes back then. They didn't have cars back then. They barely had horses. Some of them didn't have horses. I read somewhere where you average 18 miles a day when you were going back in the old colonial days because of the tree, the forest and all that. Think about just walking from here, Clarksville, to Mexico to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with Mexicans. We share the greatness of God, no matter what. How does your God look today? What does He look like? We're going to, real quick, we're going to look at six or seven verses. Each verse has a characteristic of God. This is the way we describe, this is what we show our children, our generations to come, what to look for in God. Verse 7. They shall utterly utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. So we share, we praise God for His righteousness, but that's also what He looks like too. That's who He is. So we share that with our kids, with the next generations, with our grandkids. And then verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. Talk about God's grace, His compassion, slow to anger, the mercy. We share that verbally with our children and the next generation. Verse 9, this is what God looks like. The Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all His works. So as that verse, as we read it, God's good, He's tender, He's merciful. That's how we describe who God is. That's who we praise Him for being. Verse 10, all your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. His works show who He is, and in turn, we bless Him, we praise Him, and let our children see us praise God, thank the Lord for all He's done for us. You know, we sit down, and we always pray before we sit down and eat. When our kids come over, we pray in front of them, thank the Lord for what He's provided. Sometimes I ask the grandkids to pray, and sometimes I'm sorry that I ask them to pray. If you've ever had a four-year-old pray, the food gets cold. But we never say anything. They're learning how to pray. They're learning how to praise God, not just for the food. We got one that he just looks around as he's praying, and he starts thanking for that knot hole over there on the wall. I thank you, Father, and things like that. But they're learning. We're teaching them. They're our grandkids. We taught our children. We're going to teach our grandkids. Hopefully, it's going to keep on because we're one generation away from having lost families. Verse 11. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. We need to remind them whose kingdom this is. This is God's kingdom. He created this world. It all belongs to Him. Now connect all those we just read with verse 12. To make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. So we take all those characteristics we just talked about and we make it known to all men. That includes those people at Kroger's and Walmart's and wherever else we go. Let me tell you about my God. Let me close just by reading 17 through 21. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, gracious in His works. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear Him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. My mouth shall speak of the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless His holy name forever and ever. Thank you, my Father. How big is your God? Does He need to become larger in your life? I wrote down bigger in your life, but I know that's not correct. Does He need to be a big God? Do we need to work on that? Are you a big Godder or a little Godder? This morning in my quiet time, I was reading in one of my devotionals, Johnny Hunt puts together, I think there's about 50 different men, and they each get a week of things. But this is what the devotion was this morning. It's based on 1 John 4, Beloved, let us love one another, for the love of God is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So here's the devotional. So what do you know about God? Of what are you sure about God? What you think about God is the most important thing in your life. Your view of God shapes your view of everything in the world, yourself, others, right and wrong, and your purpose in life, everything. Our understandings of God come directly from Jesus. We accept His witness and believe for many reasons that what He claimed to be is true. He is the Son of God. So what do we know about God? We know that God is love. We know that God is love, and He loves us because He sent Jesus to the world so that we might live through Him. Despite our failures and sin, God sent His only Son. God loves us, and once we truly grasp that, our entire perspective of the universe changes. We praise God for who He is, not the circumstances. I cannot imagine what it was like when God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit got together and decided they were going to create this world, knowing that in 2021 we were going to be up here. He knew then that we're going to be here today, that we were going to be sharing Scripture that David wrote and trying to apply it to our lives. But they did that because they wanted to. They loved us, cared for us, and we ought to praise God for who He is in our life. Thank you, Lord. There may be somebody that does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and that's pretty easy to take care of. Those that fear God, love God, invite Him into their hearts, He'll save you. He'll prepare a place for you in eternity with Him. But you have to do something about that. You have to ask Him to forgive you of your sinfulness and say, Lord, come into my life. And boy, when that happens, something changes in your heart. And you begin this process that we're talking about today to praise God, to realize who God is. God is God, the one and only God, King of kings and Lord of lords, creator of this world, creator of me, creator of you. Let's pray. Almighty Lord, this is your time. I pray, God, as we sing a couple verses of a song, we ask, Lord, that you'd hear our hearts. God, that if there's anybody that needs to make a decision for you, that today would be the day that they would say, Lord, I need you in my life, or Lord, I rededicate my life, or whatever you put on their heart, they would respond to you. Father, I pray that we feel the very presence of Jesus right now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We call this an invitation. I invite you to come forward and just say, Brother Jerry, God has spoken to my heart. What do I do about it? And share it with me, and I'll pray with you and help you make decisions.
Come in singing, Wherever He Leads, I'll Go.
Found something out about an hour ago. Somebody's answer that phone real quick. You guys need to do a better job of witnessing, getting people saved. I've forgotten how to put my waders on. Last time I baptized, which was about a month ago, I think, I couldn't get them on. I thought, surely these things didn't shrink like my clothes are. And I just barely got them on. Did okay, but when they're tight going on, they're real tight going off. So I barely got them off. You know, I'm trying to get out here as fast as I can. So today I put my waders on, and man, they're huge. I don't think somebody's playing a trick on me. But I forgot I'd got new ones that fit me. So I put them on, and then I put something up here to keep my shirt from getting wet. So I had to undo and put that on. So I'm feeling really good. And then Alex come up there and said, you don't have a mic up there. What do you want to do? So I put my mic on, which, again, I've already ruined one by doing this. I'll use this. I'll be really careful. So I was really careful. As I've been really careful, and as light as she is, that water just kind of whoosh. So I had an extra pair of socks up there. Thank the Lord for that. Anyways, I've been sloshing up here. So you guys need to witness for, so I'll be more in practice with the baptisms. Let's pray. Father Almighty, thank you, God, for this day, for the blessings of this day. for the fellowship, Lord, that we enjoy with each other. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.